this evening's gospel lesson is the traditional lesson from the Gospel of Matthew. It's in chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and verses 16 through 21. It starts on page 1503 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer together. Can you say with me the prayer of illumination that's printed in our bulletins?
God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and be taught your will, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. 16 through 21. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God indeed. So often as I do, starting sermons or homilies, messages, and why would this one be different? With a question. What does this Lenten journey mean to us? And I intentionally use the us because it's you and I walking together. I wrestle a lot with that these past couple of weeks, trying to discern what to talk about, especially as it relates to the gospel passage. And I think it means being committed to lingering and to walking with folks for a while. The journey with God means a journey towards God and being committed to that journey. So in this gospel passage this evening, Jesus addresses the religious practices of his day for the distinct purpose of calling his followers to a more faithful observance, a faithful observance of the traditions that demonstrate their commitment to the worship of God. Now, contrary to the interpretation given in this text in some circles, Jesus is not pointing fingers at the practices of the keepers of the law in his community. Rather, he is directing the attention of his followers to their own observances as a starting point for their acts of worship and prayer. Jesus does not so much cast doubt on the authority of the prayers of either of his fellow Jews or his Gentiles in their midst, and since their ways of worship fit the expected customs of the time. But instead, he is setting a higher standard for his disciples, one that reorients the approval of one's worship practices away from the community and toward God, since it is only what God alone sees that matters. The disciple of Christ is led by the love of God, and every action of the Christian is done in praise to God. This is the teaching that Jesus tries to make clear, and disciples, their actions give witness to the God they worship, and their practices define their Christian identity. As their new identity becomes obvious to others, we must call attention not to the disciples themselves, not the inward turning, but to God that they serve. It is public piety or devotion that is practiced, not for the praise it brings to the individual, but for the testimony it offers to the presence and grace of God operating in the life of the individual. This critical message relating to the public piety of Christians is relevant for any age, and certainly our own, less age, especially given all the almost insatiable need for public recognition that prevails in our society today. I know that I'm guilty of that. In the first section of this reading for this evening, Jesus names two specific issues that I'll focus on that were relevant to his time, the giving of alms and public prayer. But the greater issue of the need for recognition makes them just as appropriate for now, for today. We, the people of God, are called to do the work of justice and mercy in the name of God. Matthew's community was heir to the same traditions of prayer and fasting and almsgiving of which Jesus spoke. And Matthew's intention was to help his community center, focus their prayer, their worship, their acts of mercy on God. They were to make God their motive for the things that they did so that they would know the blessing of God, not merely to be the approval of their community. The ways in which we serve God should give glory to God. The work we do should not be for human commendation. And to be certain, there's nothing wrong with receiving this accommodation. The problem comes when one is motivated by the desire for recognition. We hear that in that passage. Oftentimes we see or hear about people who are engaged in different aspects of ministry simply for the praise and the recognition that they hope to receive. And when that recognition is not immediately forthcoming, such persons may either in their service, or even worse, become a stumbling block for the advancement of the work that the church needs to do. Jesus' message may help us to take the emphasis off the magnitude and worth of our efforts, which lure us in to think in the world's terms and see what we consider our just deserts with regards to recognition. When we consider what we have as a gift of God and give from the heart of love, there is no count taken. Giving is done in praise to God at any and every possible level, regardless of how big or how small. And then the blessing from God comes into the heart of the giver as God receives the prayerful gift of every fearful heart and recognizes and cherishes and rewards every gift of every faithful giver, regardless of the content. Each gift represents the love of God in the heart and itself becomes a prayer from the heart of the giver. The issue of public prayer that Jesus names is less of a problem in our church for the church today. Prayer is conversation that opens the dialogue between God and the person who offers a prayer. And public prayer is not often practiced today in the manner that it was in Jesus and Matthew's day. It was, and I think it still is, I believe it still is. I consider it still an honor to be able to lead a congregation in public prayer. The problem arises, as spoke about in the gospel lesson, when those so engaged are more concerned with how the prayer sounds than what the prayer means. And many Christian communities cherish the memories of some saints of old who, when they're called to pray, and we know some folks from here and from other communities that could practically bring God down from heaven. We've heard that, you know, in those prayers. And those saints prayed with sincerity and with faith. And the community was blessed. We were blessed with those prayers. And there were also those whose prayers were merely self-serving. And such prayers often become rote, lacking the faith that could give life into words and enable to hear hearers to experience the presence of God. Jesus' message calls us individually and the church as a community to deep and fervent prayer that is focused on God, thereby enriching the life of the community and bearing witness to the glory of God for the life and the work of the whole people of God. Those who pray in the way Jesus taught will do so in the assurance that the prayers of the faithful are heard and accepted and blessed by God. So during this time of Lent, let's walk a little longer. Let's listen a little more intently. Let's pray a whole lot more. And open our heart a little bit wider and watch what the gracious and merciful and slow to anger God can do. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.